Appreciate you guys braving the cold. The coldest place I've ever been, and the coldest temperatures I've experienced, was in Moorhead, Minnesota. It was 38 degrees below zero regular temperature, 110 below wind chill. So, but I kind of feel like once it gets below zero, it all sort of feels a little bit the same. It kind of cuts through you and it's uncomfortable. And so I'm very appreciative of you joining us this morning. One thing that's a little bit strange about weather like this is if you live in it long enough, what happens to your body? It adjusts, it acclimates. That year that Julie and I spent up in Moorhead, Minnesota, by the time the spring came and it got 20 degrees, I wanted to wear shorts and a t-shirt. You know, because my body had just changed and gotten used to it. So one of the things I want us to do together, especially at the beginning of the year 2018, is I want to make sure that we're acclimated in our bodies and our hearts and our minds to the right things. If you think about it in terms of the spirituality of the area that we live in, our commitment to Christ and those kinds of things, think beyond our church. The spiritual climate that we experience every day just isn't that warm. It isn't that open. People aren't necessarily open to the things of Christ like we hope that they would be. And again, that's one of the reasons why we're here. But I want to make sure that we personally aren't acclimating to the things of our world and our culture that would just cause us to drift a little bit from the Lord, that would cause us to not be able to hear Him clearly and hear His voice speak to us this year, especially as we ask Him to do great things in ministry here at Chapel. And so we decided to take the advice of our denomination that we associate with. It's called Converge. And they were asking churches like ours to take 21 days in the month of January to pray and fast. And so what we've done is we've taken this information. We're going to adopt it into over the next 3 weeks. And we're asking God to allow us the opportunity to dive more deeply individually in our relationships with God through Jesus Christ, but also for God to speak to us corporately as a church over the next several weeks. Because I feel like in so many ways, since I've been here, we've never been better positioned to do things for the Lord, to make a difference in this community, to really alleviate the suffering that we see and steer people to hope in Jesus Christ. And so I want to make sure that we're doing the things that God wants us to do, both as individuals and as a church. I always have ideas, but my ideas, your ideas in and of themselves don't change the world. It's God and His Spirit that changes the world. And so we need to get involved in the things that He's doing, and we need to listen to His voice. And so I've just sort of put this thought here down, and I'm going to orient you to where we're headed over the next 3 weeks. The journey of prayer and fasting for 21 days starts Monday, January 8th. All right? So we're hoping that you're going to want to join with us. Don't feel pressure. Don't feel nervous. I'll walk you through what this means. But it'll be something I think that God will use to change our lives individually in our church. Okay? So let me pray for us just real quick before we jump in. Father, we don't want to begin to advance too far into this year without just sort of reacclimating ourselves to what's most important, which is You and Your glory, and following You, Jesus, with all of our hearts and being sensitive and listening to the Holy Spirit in our lives. Father, would You give us the ability to get excited about what You're going to do here? Would You show us what You want us to be doing as a church very clearly? Would You show us as individuals what You want us to be committed to and some of the changes that You might want us to make to know You better and to serve You more effectively? Thanks, Father, for giving us the blessing of this place. I'm so glad to come in and the church is warm. And it's just great to have a place to meet together and to worship You. And so speak to us now, Holy Spirit, as we spend this time together in Jesus. We love You above all others. In Your name we pray. Amen. Prayer and fasting is founded and totally dependent upon faith. It's an exercise of faith. I'm in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Let me read a couple of verses to you. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. This word for faith that's being used here is a word of having complete and utter confidence and firmness in the fact that God is God and He's going to speak and do what He wants, and we trust Him. We have confidence in His promises. So it's not a word that's sort of psyching yourself up and generate a larger degree of faith and belief. And if I believe, I'll receive, all those kinds of sort of health and wealth and prosperity kinds of message. What it is, God, I have complete confidence in You. And I have faith that You will not only show me how to live my life, but You will do the right things in my life and in the life of the world and all that I'm around. So it's being certain of God's promises. Verse 8 says it also this way. It's a really important idea that you need to know by, where are we at here? Verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. I might have given you the wrong verse, but I want you to understand this concept in verse 6. If we don't live this life of trust, God will not be pleased with us. It doesn't mean that He doesn't love us. He doesn't accept us. He doesn't forgive us. But He wants us to know the things that are on His heart that make Him happy, that He longs for us as well. And He wants us to have faith. And then verse 8, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his own inheritance, obeyed and he went, even though he didn't know where he was going. That's a great exhibition of trusting God. Get up and go, leave everything that you're familiar with, and I'll show you what to do next. Having faith, there's another word in here that's important to understand, being certain of what you do not see. Certain is that vital conviction, that stretching out to know that God has something for you, even though you might not completely understand what it is. Since I've been here, I've gone through different health issues. And so part of my practice is, Lord, I stretch out to You to receive what You want to do with my health and who You want me to talk with about Jesus Christ and what You want to do to bring glory to Your name. And so I just have, I'm certain that He's going to use those things in my life. And so we want to have faith, we want to have certainty, and I really believe that faith determines our ability to obey and to have courage, like Abraham when he left and went to a land that he didn't know. Turn quickly with me to Luke. If not, it should be on the screen here for you. Luke 22. Your finger is warm enough to turn these pages. Luke 22, verse 31, Jesus is speaking to Peter and he says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked me to permission to sift you, to allow your faith to be tested as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your, what's he say, that your obedience to go to the synagogue may not fall, that your hard work may not fall. Simon, I pray that your faith, your trust in me may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. When we have faith tests, so to speak, where we have to trust God in ways that we don't totally understand, inevitably He flips that around and not only strengthens our faith, but helps us strengthen the faith of others that might be going through similar kinds of things. Faith is a key. If you ever want to understand how important it is, just one more passage for you. 2 Peter. Flip over just a little bit more, 2 Peter chapter 1. It's a great list of things that Peter's praying for this church to adopt in terms of the character qualities. Verse 5, it says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you quest these qualities in increasing measure, then you will keep from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the top of the list? Are all these things equal? It's faith. Add to your faith first, these qualities strengthen your faith. And yes, we hope that those are true in our lives, but faith is the big key. So let me give you a couple of definitions as we get started. Let me give you a definition of prayer. All right? You can define this in a lot of different ways. This is Derek's definition of prayer. It's authoritative and probably, hopefully, right. I don't know. We'll see. Prayer is seeking God and listening to His voice with the goal of knowing Him better. Prayer is seeking God and listening to His voice with the goal of knowing Him better. Prayer isn't a barter exchange or a negotiation. God, I ask you to give me this, and then I'll maybe be good, and I'll follow you, or whatever. Prayer isn't always just asking for things. Prayer isn't just a way for us to grow in our discipleship relationship, although it really, really does help with those things. Prayer is primarily a relational issue, a connection with God, hoping to know Him better, and listening to His voice. Having a conversation, how He speaks in our heart through the Holy Spirit, through the Bible as we read, and those kinds of things. That's prayer. Here's what fasting is, okay? Fasting is abstaining and replacing certain things. Abstaining and replacing certain things that will allow us more time to focus on our relationship with God. It's not just abstaining from the standpoint of I'm a good person because I'm sacrificing a meal or something like that. I'm not eating lunches anymore or whatever. It's abstaining and replacing time to free up more time so that you can focus on your relationship with God. Okay? You got those two definitions in mind? All right. There'll be a test. Prayer and fasting, that's how I define it. So, as we enter this journey together, what does prayer and fasting, living out those definitions, asking God to speak to our hearts and to the heart of our church, what does prayer and fasting do in the life of a believer? I got a couple of things that hopefully you'll be excited about. This first one's a little bit hard, but trust me, it's a really good thing. It reveals our sin and leads to brokenness. Now, I know you probably don't get up in the morning and say, hey, God, not only show me my sin, but make it evident to all what my sin is so that I can really be healed from it. That's not my prayer. All right. I don't get excited about that necessarily, but I've come to the point in my life where, you know what, if there is something in my life that's causing me to not be able to pray, to not be able to make sacrifices like fasting, that's causing me to have a separation in my relational connection with God, I want Him to show me. And I want Him to make me humble and broken. There's a couple of passages here we'll sort of spin off in the book of Psalms. Specifically Psalm 66. All right. Actually, you know what? Let's start there. Psalm 66, verse 18. Here's the deal. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the psalmist is saying, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God surely did listen to the voice of my prayer. So when we're praying, we're not supposed to cherish sin. What does that mean? It means that it's a primitive word for regarding or enjoying or gazing upon something that you know you shouldn't. So you don't enter into a prayer conversation with God holding on to something that's sinful that you know is sinful. You're supposed to confess that and to agree with God that this is wrong and not cherish it. So men, sometimes when we go through this deal, men are very visually oriented. And let's just say we're watching a movie and all of a sudden there's something inappropriate in the movie, some sexual thing or something like that. I've trained myself to look away. You know, hopefully I'm not watching too many movies that have a lot of that stuff, but when it accidentally pops up, I just look away. So I don't want to gaze at it and enjoy it. Does that make sense? And it's just, we're all tempted, man, to do these kinds of things, but sin enters in when we cherish it, when we gaze at it. When we find reasons to watch that movie again because of that one scene, whatever it is, those are the areas that I don't want to cherish in my heart, because when those things happen, God doesn't listen to us the same way. Sin is a great destroyer of relationships, but it's a great destroyer of that close, intimate connection with God where He speaks to us and we speak to Him. Isaiah 59 talks about this as well. Thanks for flipping around with me. This is your aerobic exercise for the morning. It's too cold to get exercise outside. Isaiah 59, verse 2. Your iniquities, your sinfulness, the things that you do that are wrong, that are selfish, that are against God's ways, your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. Now, technically, God is God and He knows everything that's going on all the time. But this is a great comparison to how relational he's wired. And sin can't have anything to do with the God that created the universe. He's perfect. That's why he sent us Jesus, to basically be sin for us, to take our sins upon him so that we could relate and be purified to a holy God. Sin separates and it causes a broken relational connection. And so what happens is it affects our prayer life and our ability to focus. The last little one that I want to read to you is Psalm 51. I want to make sure that as we enter into sort of a dedicated time of prayer and fasting, that you're not doing it for the wrong reasons, you're not doing it for show. You need to understand that what faith and prayer and fasting is supposed to lead to is brokenness and humble service. Psalm 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God are what? A broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. A humble heart, a heart that realizes that I can't do anything without God. One of the things that happens if you take time to dedicate certain sections of your day to prayer and fasting is God will reveal not only sin in your life, but he will reveal your need to depend upon him. The very first time I was in college, the very first time I went on a fasting journey, I decided to fast for a week, nothing but water for a week. And so I thought, you know what, this is going to be awesome. God's going to show me things about my life. But the things that he showed me were surprising. So the first 3 days of my fasting journey, I'm being dead serious with you. The only thing I could think of was getting a hamburger. Not all the time, but most of the time. And I had no idea I had a hamburger addiction. That was the thing, you know, I just didn't know. And so I thought, God, you know what? I know I'm supposed to concentrate on you. I know I'm supposed to pray for other students to come to Christ, but all I want is a hamburger. And so this is a problem. Can you help me think about something besides a hamburger? And days 4, 5, 6, and 7 were awesome. So my fast was divided up into hamburger fasting. That was all that was important. And spiritual fasting. The last 4 days, I really grew in my relationship with God. The thing is when you sacrifice, when you fast, when you abstain from certain kinds of things, God shows you what's wrong in your life, but also God shows you what you're addicted to. All right? Silly being addicted to a hamburger, right? I bet we have things like that. It's food. It's maybe social media. It's maybe gaming. It's maybe Facebook. I don't know. What consumes most of your time? What do you get most excited about when you have free time that you want to do? Those are the things that we might want to consider scaling back on so that our hearts will be broken and we'll be fully more committed to him. So that's a great benefit. God shows us in his love what's wrong in our lives, that we need to be humble. Fasting and praying, also it allows us to hear God more clearly. To hear God more clearly. I don't know why, but sometimes it's hard for me to sense or hear the voice of God with all the craziness in the world, all the things that are going on, all the craziness periodically in my own life. You know, God, what are you doing? And what are you saying? Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 15. This is the life of Jesus. He's doing all these incredible things. He just healed a man with leprosy. Verse 15, yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came near to him. They wanted to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Why do you think he did that? The craziness of ministry, and if you can imagine actually physically healing people, the word would get out pretty quickly, and I bet your appointment calendar would fill up pretty fast. And so all of a sudden, you've got to decide, I need God's perspective on what's going on here. I need closeness with him. I need to hear how he wants me to live. But with the clutter of constantly being around people all the time, being around noise, being around watching the news, whatever it could be in your life, it drowns out the ability to focus on God. And so prayer and fasting sort of sets aside that time where you're going to focus on him and remove some distractions. Radio, TV, noise. It's going to sound silly, but one of the reasons why I walk, and I'm not like this championship walker, you know, Olympic whatever they do with their hips that are weird. No, I'm just a casual walker, but one of the reasons why I do is it keeps my brain more focused. Like if you ask me to sit still in a room, I'm going to start shaking after a while, okay? I need to have something to do with a pencil. I need to flip something around. I need to be walking. I need to be moving. And so I hear God more clearly, not in complete stillness, but in sort of movement, especially on days when it's six below. I mean, I'm telling you, it's clear, it's quiet, it's focused, and you might hear something special from God's Spirit in your heart. So it's not simply just being still, it's allowing distractions and evaluating what they are so that you can hear God's voice. It's being like Jesus and saying, I want to take periodic times to be alone, to do the things so that I can really listen to your voice. So it allows us to hear God more clearly. And the last little idea here is this: it allows the Holy Spirit's power to be released in our lives. Prayer and fasting allows the Holy Spirit's power to gain traction and to increase His ability to influence our lives. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. I love this section of Scripture because it's fairly mysterious in a way, but it's just cool what God does. So just like we find hope and we long for Christ to come back, and Paul is teaching a lot of things here, he says, in the same way, verse 26, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps us in our weaknesses, when we're broken, when we crave hamburgers, when we want to do what we want to do versus what God wants to do. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. So not only does the Holy Spirit indwell us, not only does the Holy Spirit empower us for service and those kinds of things, teach us God's word, lead us into all truth, all that kind of stuff that I talked about last week, but the Holy Spirit is praying for us and knows what we actually should pray when we don't know. How many of you guys have ever been in a situation where someone asked you to pray and honestly, you didn't know what to pray for? Okay? A couple of years ago, my son asked me to pray for him, and I didn't know what to pray for him. You know, God makes something terrible happen to him, so he loves you more. God, spare him from anything bad and keep him safe, because I just want him around. I don't want him to necessarily have anything bad happen. Like, I was struggling as a parent. Like, what do I pray? And in those moments, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us and prays the things that God would want. The Holy Spirit knows God's will. We don't always pray God's will, but He will help us do that. And sometimes we pray in ways that the words can't even express what that is. Now, some people think about this as a prayer language, a gift of the Spirit, and those kinds of things. But that's fine, and I believe that could be that's a possibility. There's room for that in the text, but it's also sometimes just kind of crying out in a way that you can't even explain. This week, thinking about my Julie being sick, you know, and we're on that journey of trying to figure out cancer treatment and those kinds of things. There was a couple of times where I just sort of prayed and said, Lord, help. And that's about all I could get out, you know. But I take such comfort knowing that the Spirit knows God's will, and He will pray when I can't pray. He will speak when I can't speak. And prayer and fasting and dedicated, focused time on Him helps that become more of a reality in your life. All right? So here's how I want you to consider applying this. And we'll continue to teach a little bit more about it. I don't know. I kind of went back through some of the records. I don't know. Those of you guys that have been here for a really long time, I couldn't find any record of any teaching on fasting. And I know I haven't talked about it really since I've been here, so we should enjoy this journey together. It's something new, but I would like us to make a commitment to pray and fast over the next 21 days. All right? Now, when I say fasting, here's what I want you to consider. Remember the definition: it's abstaining and replacing something that will allow you to more focus on God and that your relationship with Him. So it doesn't have to be you can't have any food for 21 days. In fact, I would just tell you that sometimes medical conditions, medications that you're on, those kinds of things, God doesn't want you to not eat food. It's not good for you to not eat food. So it could be anything. So it could be something like, you know, an extreme would be I'm not going to eat and I'm just going to drink water. It could be juices. It could be like the Daniel fast idea. I don't know if you heard about this, but it's like vegetables and fruits and nuts and those kinds of things. That's all I'll do. Or it could be something like a meal, you know, once a week or maybe even every day. I won't eat lunch. I'll pray and journal and listen to God's voice. It could be even nothing to do with food, okay? So don't hear me in a real narrow way. I know a guy that he's going to fast from playing video games because that's a big distraction for him. It eats up a lot of time, right? You could fast from TV. The thing is you got to really be honest and evaluate as I make this commitment, what is the thing that I can sacrifice that's actually taking my time? And don't pick something cheap or weird or easy. Like I could say, you know what, I'm going to fast from watching the Kansas City Chiefs this season play. Why is that bad? Because they lost yesterday and they're not going to play anymore this year, right? Or at least till the next season. So I don't want to pick something that's just a gimme or an easy thing. I really want more dedicated time to the Lord so He can speak to me individually and so that He can speak to us as a church and how we should lead and what we should be involved in and those kinds of things. All right? So be praying about that. Make a commitment. God will show you. And really, really try to take it seriously. Some churches, and I really commend them for doing these kinds of things, some churches have traditions of not eating meat on certain days and those kinds of things. And I think that's good. But this isn't some sort of superfluous little, God, I'll throw you a bone, now speak to me. This is sort of, God, I really want you to speak to me, and I need you to, and so I'm going to sacrifice something significant so that you will. All right? So make a commitment. And then I'd like you to use this journal over the next 21 days. Converge, our denomination, has provided this for us. And what this is just sort of a little nugget, a little devotional thing to use during that time that you're sacrificing for God so that He can speak to you. It has little lessons in here and little things that you can fill out. It has a key passage that you can read each day. Now, I know many of you have your own Bible reading plans and you're spending time with God and it's going really well. I'm just asking you to consider sacrificing a little bit more and starting tomorrow, work your way through this. This is something that you can pick up and have on your own. We have hard copies. You can also download it from our website. We have a link. And so if you want to print it off in your own format, in some ways that would help us a little bit from printing costs and those kinds of things. But this is just a journey that we can go on together, and we can see what God has for us. And I'm really asking us to speak to us during this time. Okay, make sense? All right, I hope you'll join with us. I hope you consider these kinds of things, and I'm excited for God to speak to your lives and to speak to us as a church as we consider this. So let me pray for us. Father, thanks for being so clear about ways that practical ways and practical things that can really affect our relationship with you. Father, we trust you during this time that you will show each and every one of us what we can abstain from so that we can replace more time with you and maybe do this journal and focus and ask you to speak. Father, we trust you to reveal sin and to help us be broken. I know the process isn't fun, but it comes out of love from you. You don't want us to destroy our lives with distractions and sin and things like that we don't need to. Life is too short to waste it on things that aren't important, Lord. Father, show us more how your Holy Spirit's power can guide us. You say in Acts 1 that told the disciples to wait until the Holy Spirit came upon them, and then they'll receive power to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the rest of the world. Holy Spirit, you're the power source of our lives, and we want you to have full reign in our hearts. And so would you do that during this time? And Father, also, bigger picture, more than just us as individuals, it starts with our own hearts, but would you show us as a church the things that we should be involved in as well? Father, we have ideas, we have thoughts, we have things that we've been doing that are great, but we want to do what you want to do, and we want to live by faith, because we really believe that it's impossible to please you without it. Grow our faith, strengthen our hearts, give us courage. Use this time to change who we are, and we'll praise you in advance for what you're doing. In Jesus' name.